Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. We are opening a work session on House Bill,
Senate Bill 5502.
We wasted a little time here this morning, but we'll proceed now with due speed. We'll be doing the voting this morning on the DAS budget. And with that, if you would, Sue Ellen, would you kick this off for us?
Sure.
Get us underway.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we've gone through all the recommendations before. You've got the two memos, and we have the 0507 supplemental. So I'll just start by going through one by one the recommendations that you had talked about. That's okay.
All right.
Office by office. So following the memo of February 20th, to start with, the director's office, which was reflected on page 5 of the worksheet, remember this, we have recommend approval of the budget request as presented. Did you want to go one by one, or just...
We will go one by one.
Okay.
That's all right with everybody. That way, if there's some reason to get slowed down, we will be able to handle that. I guess I'm not sure, but I do need to make sure that we are in the work session on this, and on Senate Bill 5502. And LFO recommendation is that we approve the director's office as submitted to us, and I think there's relatively little staff change in the director's office, except that there is a transfer of one position.
That is correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
From the director's office to them.
Yeah.
Senator Whitson.
Mr. Jensen, I believe members of this committee have requested that DAS the information as to how much of their other funds budget is actually derived from the general fund budgets of other agencies within the state. And I personally have not received that information. I wonder if that information is available.
Thank you, Senator Whitsitt. That is correct. This committee did ask for that information.
Yeah. Members of the committee, it was provided in a memo January 29th, so you may have forgotten. I believe it's about $130 million of the budget was estimated to be general fund. This was from fees and assessments that the...
the other agencies.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Thomas.
Yes, sir.
With that, it's approximately $130 million. Is that the number? I'm getting no sign language, so...
Senator Whitson has my copy of the letter.
You haven't reduced that to memory yet.
For the committee, I would like to point out that's for the operations of DAS. That's not for the portion of the budget that's debt service on the pension obligation bonds or the like. So it's just for the operating part.
The debt service depends on the types of bonds.
Right, and debt service on pension obligation bonds is assessed of agencies as a percent of their payroll, wherever that payroll is paid from. The other debt service is built into uniform rent, if it's for facilities, the data center usage charges, and the like. So.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So that's what's coming in as far as that $124.7 million is what's coming in as far as assessments are concerned.
Assessments and fees for services. I understand.
So that does include the fee side as well?
Yes. Because assessments, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't have a letter, but I believe it's both assessments and fees. The DAS budget, again, Mr. Chair, for the committee members, There's about $450 million or so in here of debt service. So operating, you take that out of there, their operating budget is probably in the neighborhood of about $700 million for operations of the data center, state services division, facilities, and the like.
I don't either. Mr. Chair, if this includes the fee side, I'm not seeing it in here. I'm not seeing it in the pie charts that are attached, and I'm not seeing it in the commentary on the front page. What it says is that the charts provide the information for personal services, services and supplies, debt service, capital outlay, and special payments. And it comes from the state government service charge revenue. The state government service charge are the assessments that every agency pays. That's not the fees. The fees are the items, as I understand it anyway, of the fees for service, for various services that DAS is providing over and above what the assessments are there for. So for example, the state motor pool would be a fee for service. When you borrow a car, you pay a fee on it. It's not part of the assessment. When you order a print job, you pay a fee for the print job. It's not part of the assessment. So there isn't really a breakdown, as we're seeing here, of how much of the fees are coming from general fund, although, and that might be difficult for DAS to collect. I mean, in fairness to them, it might be difficult for them to collect that data because they're basically getting a transfer of funds from the agency, and the agency may not be breaking it down for them how much is coming from general fund and special funds and other funds or other funds and et cetera.
Yeah. I stand corrected.
I think we've probably ridden this pony enough this morning. I mean, on it. I think the important thing for all of us, it's awfully easy to look at these budgets and see other funds and think, okay, that's no big deal. When in reality, other funds originate in at least a number of cases from either fees or from general fund. I mean, it's not monopoly money. It comes from real money someplace in the process. So it behooves us as keepers of the public trust on this to keep that in mind as we vote on other fund budgets. With this, I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation for the director's office.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Moved. Are there any further discussions? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The next up is the Oregon Progress Board. Is that what's on your agenda?
That's what I have. I'm going to go in order of the memos here. Remember, the discussion was to have reduce the general fund by, the recommendation was to reduce the general fund by $224,000 and increase other funds limitation by the same amount. This was based on this recommendation was based on the discussion of the support for the group and the public funds that would be provided. I will share with the subcommittee that subsequent to this, I just found out that the co-chair's budget includes the entire amount that was requested of general fund for the Progress Board. So
let the record then indicate that our working on the 2% got sidetracked a little bit by $224,000 then. Yes.
Mr. Co-Chair, this also raises a policy question sort of one session to the next. I recall a very vigorous discussion last session about asking the Progress Board to go out and hunt for additional public support. Given that there are many agencies and organizations who cite the good work of the Progress Board, my personal feeling had been if this was so valuable a work product, that why wasn't there some additional philanthropic support or some additional corporate support? And I was involved last session in helping to pave the way for a grant from the Oregon Community Foundation. But I didn't hear in our conversation here, nor have I been supplied with any information from the Progress Board, indicating any outreach to even attempt to garner a level of support outside this building. And while I'm prepared to not fight with the co-chairs on this one, because clearly they've made a decision, I just think some demonstration of the tangible support of the Progress Board from the external community would be welcome.
Senator Bates.
Chair, I'm going to join Senator Johnson in this. I'm going to be a no on this unless you need a yes to get it out of committee, and I will be glad to give you that yes if we need to get it out of committee. I have no question about it. But there's two questions in my mind. One is, we find out this morning that the package we were looking at for the last several weeks has gone from a general fund reduction to, boom, general fund back into it. And then I think in my mind, what's my priorities in this building? What do I see as priorities here? And frankly, the Navigator program and the Explorer program are much higher priority for me than this is. I've never, frankly, been impressed by the Progress Board, and we've been looking at it for 6 years. And I've not had a welling of public support for it either. But when I look at the Navigator program or I look at the Explorer program, there's a lot of support out there for those, and we're denying them the same amount of money. I would be glad to give you a yes vote and a courtesy vote, but I worry about, one, a sudden change at the last minute that we didn't have a chance to discuss and work on. If the co-chairs want to run it that way, that's the way they're going to run it. They've been elected to do that by our respective caucuses. But it brings into question what we're doing here. So I'm going to get a yes on this with sort of a holding of my nose, and if you allow me to vote a no as a courtesy to me to sort of protest this, I'd appreciate it. But the kind of thing bothers me. It does, on two different fronts. Senator Whitson.
Senator Jensen, I would certainly reiterate what the good senator from Medford just said. I will vote a courtesy yes and not to allow him to vote no.
Okay. It's a protest vote, okay?
Okay. Representing Byer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to do a check-in on the process, because when you said we're, you know, your recommendation, and then you turn around and say that the co-chairs have put it back in, are we voting on your recommendation, or are we voting on the co-chairs?
We're voting on the co-chairs' budget.
Thank you.
I was going to ask that same question, so.
which becomes our recommendation.
So the recommendation is to leave the Progress Board budget as presented.
And for the record, Dallas, you know, we're talking here about basically $224,000, and that's $448,000 total. However, I think there's another $414,000 or $412,000
of other funds included.
Funds. So we really have a budget that is larger than the $448,000. That's the two that are here. But understand that we're not voting just on the 440 or 224. Yeah. We're voting on the whole package.
Yeah. The Progress Board, Mr. Chair, as presented in the governor's budget, is a total of $861,223.
Yeah. Okay. Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Although I agree with my Senate colleagues with regards to this, I do find value in what the Progress Board does. I think the failure with regards to the Progress Board and the work that they do and how it interacts with the legislature is, quite frankly, the failure of the legislature. It's not the failure of the Progress Board. I think that one of the things that we should be doing as a legislature is, when we're developing our budgets, is that we utilize the information that we get from the Progress Board to help substantiate what the dollars are being utilized for. There is a tremendous amount of information that the Progress Board provides to us, and then we, of course, decide to have our own priorities and we ignore them. I think that's very unfortunate. With all of that said, though, I also agree with Senator Johnson from the standpoint that, you know, some philanthropic ways of having additional monies in here, because I think the public benefits from our usage of the Progress Court, and maybe the public doesn't see the value because we don't see the value, or we're not appreciating the value, and we're not showing our appreciation for the value in the way that we budget. I'm not saying talking about just the Progress Board, but I'm talking about utilizing the work that they use to build the budgets, to look at where the priorities are and how the budget relates back to the benchmarks. We started that process in the last few bienniums, and yet it is a work in progress.
So noted.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I guess the question that I'm asking myself is, if we have two people in the building that are making a decision about the legislative budget, then why are we here? And I guess I'm going to blast off a little bit at the potential of the speaker becoming irritated with me, or the co-chair is becoming irritated with me. So I don't know what kind of political loss I may suffer here. But the thing is that I think the bottom line thing has to be, if our charge is to go through these budgets and to work them, and then, you know, before the work session starts, we're kind of given marching orders from two people, and there's two people doing this, then why don't we just get their budget in here and just approve it and move on? You know, we could have this thing done probably by the Ides of March. So when I say this thing, I mean the entire state budget. So I have a little bit of angst about supporting the budget. I don't want to be seen as not supporting the Progress Board if I were to vote no. But at the same time, I'm a little bit, you know, I think there's some valid questions that have been raised that aren't being answered.
So no,
thank you.
With the notations, then, is there any objections accepting Senator Bates as? Okay, approved. The next item I have on the agenda is the budget management, if that's...
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
I'm not sure, Dallas, that my cheat sheet will always agree with yours, so if I say something, we'll correct it and go back. Please proceed.
The Budget Management Division's budget request, we have recommended accepting it with an increase of other funds limitation of $433,592. The total then was shown on your page 7 of your worksheet. And this was for monies that hadn't been spent yet on the Orbitz, the budget system project. We'll provide some enhancements. Both Budget Management and Legislative Fiscal Office would like to improve the budget to actual reporting. So that would be a total budget. Other funds, again, $10,094,418, all other funds. This increase will not cause any increase in assessments or fees to other state agencies.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the LFO recommendation with respect to this item.
Senator Johnson moves the LFO recommendation with respect to this item. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? So ordered. Next
is the Operations Division, which is on page 21, summarized on page 21 of your LFO analyst recommended worksheet. We are recommending approving this budget request as presented. There were no enhancements in this. There was just a reflection of some transfer of positions within the department.
This is part of the position transfers that come about as a consequence of the IT realignment.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And one performance management position.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to the Operations Division.
Senator Johnson's moved the LFO recommendations with respect to the Operations Division. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So ordered.
Controller's Division?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Controller's Division, the summary of the recommendation is included on page 8 of your helpful analyst worksheet there. We're recommending approval of the request as it is. This is essentially an unchanged budget, but there's just a little bit of money from the reorganization, internal reorganization within the department. We're recommending the budget as approved.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to the Controller's Division.
Senator Johnson's moved the LFO recommendations with respect to the State Controller's Division. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So ordered.
The Human Resources Services Division, that budget is shown on page 13, the summary of it. We are recommending approval of that budget as requested. If you remember, there was one enhancement to begin planning work on a new human resource information systems budget or package. This has been long awaited as part of a strategic plan to upgrade the accounting, budgeting, and then human resources systems in this for statewide. This is the third leg of that package, and we are recommending approval.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to the Human Resources Division.
Senator Johnson moves passed the LFO recommendation with respect to the Human Resources Division.
Question?
In the
recommendation, Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. In the recommendation, it says that the work on this effort shall be coordinated with the Department of Transportation's human resource system effort. My question is that going to go in as part of the bill so that there's very clear direction to DAS and to the Human Resources Division with regards to what our expectation is? Or is that something that's going to be put in a budget note that if the agency decides they want to later, they can ignore it?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have not received approval to put it in a budget note. We will be putting it in the budget report, both for this agency and for the Department of Transportation, that they will periodically report to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology, and that would be subject to the co-chairs of that committee calling them forward for this. We will be tracking it. We being in Legislative Fiscal, both myself and Susie Jordan is the analyst for the Department of Transportation, so we will be bringing this to the attention of the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology and make sure both agencies are aware of that. It will not, we are not proposing to put it in the bill, and we have had no indications. Co-chairs want a minimal number of budget notes this time. They prefer to get things done through the narrative in the budget report to the extent that we can. We believe we can accommodate it that way. And we do not believe that the agency will ignore the budget report.
Well, Mr. Chair, in follow-up, thank you. Of course, this isn't something that that DAS is going to ignore if it's something that they want. That's the way it is with the agencies. It's also, of course, if it's something that ODOT wants, they're not going to ignore it. What I'm concerned about is ignoring the direction to work together. And if we put it into the budget, into the bill itself, if we put the language that we want into the bill itself, then it has the force of law. And if they ignore it, we have a basis for going after them. However, as we have found in this last interim with regards to a couple of other issues, when we put things in the budget note, because it doesn't have the force of law, the agencies can choose, or the governor can choose, to ignore it. And I, quite frankly, have lost all confidence in terms of budget notes, and I have no reason to believe that the agencies will actually, if it's not in the bill, that the agencies will actually do it. So I just want to make sure that it's very clear on the record that we do expect that there's a coordination between these two agencies, because having them both working on separate items in this respect is counterproductive and a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, the next item is the State Data Center, which is included on page 23. We were recommending approval of the request with the addition of other funds limitation of $10,599 that for COPs we've been informed have not yet been issued, but the authority exists. We provided that authority for them to move and consolidate, and they have done the lift and drop for all but one agency, and the consolidation efforts were postponed because of the refiguring of the plan for the consolidation. They will be issuing, they plan to issue these and expend the money in the 07-09 biennium.
Sure, sure. Senator Johnson.
I don't have a motion right now. I got a question, first of all. We had some pretty robust discussion in this committee about just exactly where the Department of Education was. It couldn't have been a secret to them that we were discussing it. I come away very unsatisfied that we know what the answer is, why it is they're not participating, why it is that somebody hadn't figured out that there was a bar or an alleged bar to their participation. And I don't know whether the agency has an update or the chair of the education sub has an update, but I would sure like to know what the status of moving education's budget their data into Scenic is before we move ahead with this package. I just feel like that's just out there dangling, and I don't have an answer.
I did send a follow-up email yesterday or the day before to the data center manager as to the status. So a letter had been sent from the Department of Justice to the federal government. A copy of that was shared with the chairs of both education and this subcommittee. And I do not know that a response has been received to date. It has not, I am being told. So what they did was a letter was sent requesting clarification as to whether or not the letter basically highlighted the security efforts that would be in place at the data center to ensure the security of the data on students. That was the issue, whether there was a problem with the federal regulations or law. And the request was made of the federal oversight agency as to whether those security arrangements would be sufficient in their eyes to allow then the Department of Education's data center operations to be moved into the state data center. We have not yet received a reply.
Mr. Chair, may I follow up?
Certainly.
Yeah, this seems to me, and I don't want to fault Mr. Ball for this because it is my opinion that Mr. Ball has saved this whole thing from auguring in. So I want to just set that as a preface. But it is my opinion that knowing this kind of information should have been a threshold issue prior to proceeding. The whole point of this consolidated information was to consolidate the information. And we now have some pushback, and I don't know how much of it is manufactured by the Department of Education. I don't know how much of it is real. But it just seems to me astonishing on a project of this magnitude to find out that one of the agencies can't participate for some real or perceived bar this late in the game is jaw-dropping to me. And I am looking for some reassurance that the Department of Education is doing everything they can to get to yes, and is not throwing up unnecessary or artificial roadblocks because they don't want their data amalgamated. And I just haven't gotten that level of reassurance yet. I respectfully acknowledge Mr. Winans' explanation that letters are going back and forth, but nobody's come in here and assured me that everybody is doing everything possible to get to yes.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate very much those comments. And I have to reflect on the previous session when we were dealing with, when I was on the Ed subcommittee too, we were dealing with some of this question in the previous session, and I objected to the entirety of this grandiose package. Obviously, was not terribly successful in that, but I would have thought that some of those questions might have been asked prior to our taking action 2 years ago on some of this budget item. So I guess the only thing I can say at this point is the chair of the Ed subcommittee is probably forewarned that when we get to the education budget in that committee, I may be asking questions pursuing this particular discussion.
And just for the record, I mean, I have no more real information than what Dallas articulated. I think, you know, I spoke with Ed Dennis over the phone, and I'm sure they would have gladly come in and talked about it more, but and that was, what was that, a month ago?
Yeah.
So, but I have no information beyond that, just FYI.
I appreciate the chair of the Ed subcommittee's interest in this, and I would just hope that somewhere along the line we can get the department on the record with what I think is a very simple yes or no question. Are you working hard to make this happen, or are you doing everything to obfuscate and resist and fight? And if that question doesn't reflect my bias on where I think they are, I don't know how I can make it any clearer. But ever since I came to the legislature, I have heard these sort of muffled, vague kind of allusions to the fact that both the Department of Education and certainly the OUS system have wanted their budget numbers treated differently. For a long time, they didn't integrate into LFO. They reported on different schedules. They reported in different fashions. They counted different things. And my view is that it is no longer appropriate for parts of state government to say, we don't want to be accountable because we're different in some significant way, when we're undertaking these multi-million dollar endeavors to try to collect and manipulate data in a systematic way. And I just reject the idea that we're OUS, so we don't have to tell you our numbers, or we don't have to fit into the state budgeting scheme. And I would just respectfully ask that the department get pinned down hard on what their level of enthusiasm is for being included in Scenic.
May I,
please?
I think because we have, there are two people who are, serve on this committee who also serve on the Ed Sub, we will do our best to
I am comforted.
Pin them down.
I am comforted by that, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely.
We will note, Senator Johnson, that we haven't made a commitment to pin them down, merely that we will do our best.
I respect and admire your efforts, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. Representative Crummell, I hear a question from you or a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe a goodwill suggestion here would be that the department be let it be known to them that their maybe their tech budget doesn't move forward without some further explanation and satisfaction in terms of how this is being addressed, because I agree with Senator Johnson that they have been holding back on this and kind of standing in the way. And my other question is for the chair of the education subcommittee. I certainly hope that he got the word obfuscate in that question, because I think that's a big one.
Thank you, Mr.
Subcommittee chair is very comfortable with polysyllabic terms, so I did get that.
I didn't know that you were referring to the bigness of the word or the bigness of the obfuscation.
Both.
We are enjoying ourselves far too much, and the time is slipping away from us. So do we have a motion to move this?
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to the State Data Center.
Senator Johnson moves the LFO recommendation with respect to the State Data Center. Is there further discussion? Hearing none.
Sorry, I have another process question, I guess. As these,
Representative Byer.
Thank you. As these go to the full Ways and Means Subcommittee and they come up in front of it, does whoever carry it, do these comments come up in that discussion? Can they come up in that discussion?
Are you volunteering to carry this on the floor?
Well, I don't know about that, but I just meant in the full Ways and Means Committee.
We will try to note that our discussions here will be made noted in the full Ways and Means Committee, and in some of the cases may be noted on the House and Senate floor as the carriers there so choose to do it.
Mr. Chair, we'll try to get that into the point.
Senator Whitson.
Mr. Chair, just in the in order to be brief, I would certainly support the comments of Senator Johnson and Representative Krummel. I spent a great deal of time in the Ways and Means Subcommittee for Education last session. Spent a great deal of time looking at the budget, and the only conclusion that I can come to is it is purposely opaque.
Okay. Hearing all of the discussion then, seeing no more, is there any objection? No objections, so ordered. And State Service Division?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have recommended approval of the budget request as presented. If you remember, it had a little option package for ballot measure 37 costs, which are general funded. That's included in the co-chair's budget, but I mean, it's essential. And then there was some additional other funds for State Procurement Office.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to the State Services Division.
Senator Johnson moves the LFO recommendation with respect to the State Services Division. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Well, the next one is the Enterprise Information Strategy and Policy Decision. This is on page 9 of your handout. The staff recommendation was to reduce the general fund appropriation by $5 million. That is to take out the policy option package entirely for the Navigator project. There was a lot of discussion following about this and whether we could put back some money for some planning. We are recommending the package be removed in its entirety. And that's his.
Okay. And this is POP 454, is that correct?
454 is yeah.
The recommendation is to remove this from its entirety from the budget. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with a proviso. And, colleagues, this particular item was the subject of some very vigorous activity yesterday, attempting to try to not just object to the LFO recommendation, but to come forward with a solution. And as a result, there were lengthy conversations with a variety of other potential funding sources so that we could come and present to you as colleagues an alternative. Those discussions did not bear fruit, and there was clear instruction on the part of the co-chairs that they wanted to see this policy option package not move forward. And so I would move the LFO recommendation with the proviso that we note this for further discussion as the Ways and Means process moves ahead. There will be other opportunities to talk about the value of, for example, the wetland delineation, and that subject could easily come up in the context of the DSL budget. I think we ran out of time to continue to explore other options. We learned yesterday that there is value in both the Navigator and continuing to plan for that. As we heard in the testimony here, there are little pockets of GIS initiatives all through state government. And personally, and I know I'm joined by colleagues, there was enthusiasm to see DAS have continued horsepower to plan and coordinate and outreach, but that is not where the co-chairs want to go. There was also great value seen in the work of the Institute for Natural Resources at OSU in developing a user-friendly series of portals in which to access this GIS information. And I think I can say without reservation that there was bipartisan support for moving ahead. This is not the wish of the co-chairs, and so I would move the LFO recommendation, reserving the opportunity to continue this discussion somewhere in the remainder of the Ways and Means process, because this seems to be a valuable asset to the state with multiple applications from K-12 all the way through planning staffs and just citizens standing across the planning counter in some county planning office. And so with that, you've heard my motion.
Thank you. Senator Johnson moves the LFO recommendation with, if I can be allowed to shorten and paraphrase a bit, Senator, the shelving of the Navigator package that we were dealing with yesterday, so that if some opportunity arises in the course of the rest of the session, that this might be revisited in another context.
That captures the spirit of my motion, Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Hey, Representative Cromwell.
I'm going to object to the motion, and I've already stated earlier with regards to our committee of two making some of these decisions, but I would note, if I'm not mistaken, that this project is also supported by the governor, that the idea of planning this is something that should, in my estimation, move forward, and I think the efforts to come up with a plan to maybe not utilize $5 million, but to have some seed money there for planning and at least getting the portal up and running and that sort of thing, so that this could become a viable project, was extremely important. I can see that the value of this could be to local government. But we're also not asking the state to fund the whole thing, or that it doesn't appear that the package is for the whole thing. But I think that we need to be moving in this direction, and I object to just sort of wiping the thing out, and we're betting on the come that hopefully we'll be able to address this in some other fashion.
Thank you, Representative.
Chair Jensen, I will be a no on this also. Not I do support Senator Johnson's concept of looking forward for a new source of funding, but I really believe, as I believe Representative Kremel articulated, that we should be doing that here now today, but I think that this is a good project and we should be doing it here.
Okay. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Right now, I wish you were the co-chair. It's been a Freudian slip in my part. Is the tape running right now? Can I back that up?
You're toast, baby.
I like to make it very clear to the co-chairs that was a slip of the tongue. Okay. We've already spoke to this, and I think the idea of a minimal funding for this being put on the shelf and looked at later in the session is appropriate, either from true other funds, capital funds from Measure 66 is the most likely source, but looking at some way of keeping this program going. The potential for this program, the entire $5 million, and what this program can do for land planning in the state is just huge, just amazing. I don't know if any of you have ever gotten on your computer and found your home from an aerial photo. A friend of mine did that. I was just stunned. You know, I couldn't read the license plates, but it was almost to that point. And we backed it up and looked at some water resource problems in the Rogue Valley and a bunch of other stuff, and it was just amazing what's there. And as that, but we couldn't get the information we really wanted. We couldn't get a lot of other information about tax lots and where different things were. Putting us all into one database ultimately is going to be a huge tool, and I don't want to see this program lost. And I'll go back to this is to me a higher priority. If we have to have priorities, I hate to have them, but if we have to have priorities, I put this above the progress board as an example. So I think putting this on the shelf and looking and supporting the LFO recommendation, but putting this on the shelf is the appropriate process to go through at this point. And I'll be a yes on this.
Okay. Further? Okay. Hearing no further discussion, then, and noting that Senator Whitson and Representative Kummel are nay votes on this. Are there any other objections? Hearing none, so order.
Next one is the Office of Health Policy and Research. If you remember, my original proposed recommendation was to reduce the general fund appropriation by $388,976. We are recommending now, after all the discussion we had, to approve the budget as presented, with the understanding, we will put it in the budget report, that $388,976 will be repaid out of program revenues in the 09-11 biennium. The understanding is that no additional general fund will be provided to this program going forward after this session or after this biennium, that it should be self-sustaining with having reached critical mass. If not, it certainly needs to be revisited then for a lot of different reasons, not just the dollars.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make that motion that we accept the LFO recommendation. And I'd like to add that I would like to thank Dallas for working with us so carefully with us. I appreciate your efforts on this. I'd especially like to thank Lindsey Ball, the HC head, for coming up with a plan that works here. And I'd like to also make on the record that if this can be paid back before the 09 period, if this program gets up and running, hits critical mass, and the money can be paid back earlier, it should be paid back immediately, not to wait for the next biennium. I think there's actually an opportunity in the second year of this program, this could actually pay itself back. And we don't have many programs we start up in this building that have no roll-up costs. This is one that has no roll-up to it, and no roll-up is going to be allowed to it. So it's a great program. I think it represents the voters' will on ballot measure 44 for the bulk purchasing of pharmaceuticals. It's a boon to people who don't have health insurance for getting pharmaceuticals. And I think you've made this into a win-win for everybody. Dallas, thank you. And Mr. Ball, thank you very much.
Thank you. Senator Bates has moved that we move the LFO recommendation as amended, I guess, forward. And the chair would also like to, the LFO recommendation on this health policy package.
Health Policy, Office of Health Policy and Research.
Yes, the Office of Health Policy and Research. Thank you, Dallas. The chair would like to also thank the Senator Bates and staff and the department for working in the 11th hour on, and in some cases on the highway, on the cell phone to get all of this put together. I think Senator Bates has already made the case for it, and we won't elaborate on that, but I do appreciate everybody's hard work to try to bring this piece together for us. So with that, is there any other discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, moving forward, the next item was the Public Employees Benefit Board. If you remember, the staff's recommendation is to reduce the general fund appropriation by $4,950,228, otherwise approve the budget request. This amount reduction is to take out the policy option package that for the Oregon Education Benefits Board. All of that money was placed in a separate bill for the department, Senate Bill 426, and that is moving forward.
Okay. You've heard the discussion or the recommendation. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would make a motion that the Public Employees Benefit Board LFO recommendation be accepted.
Senator Bates moves that the Public Employees Benefit Board LFO recommendation be accepted. Is there any discussion? Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Next item is the Facilities Division budget. We are recommending no change to this budget request. It included a few packages that were for some costs of selling real property, some green power, and then phase in of staff to support the state hospital replacement. So we are recommending
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to the facilities budget.
Senator Johnson moves the LFO recommendation with respect to the facilities budget. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any exception?
I have a question.
Question.
We will be having discussion.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We will be having discussion with regards to the Gene office building later in the capital construction budget. As a piece of, depending on how that discussion goes, that could influence the facilities division budget, could it not? And their need, depending upon what type of recommendation ultimately comes out of that discussion. But if, hypothetically, DAS were to decide to sell the Eugene office building, then would the expense for that not be a part of the facilities division budget?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the cost of the sale,
preparing it for sale, getting an appraisal, marketing it.
Right. We provided additional limitation for that. Remember they had a package in here for real estate property sales for appraisal and legal services. So there is money in there.
Okay. I'm just thinking ahead a couple. I just wanted to make
that's fine.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
The next one is the capital improvements, if you remember, included in facilities. They have some where the department incurs ongoing capital improvements. These are usually costs of ongoing larger maintenance of existing facilities and generally a cost of less than $500,000. We are recommending approval of the budget as requested. It's a little over $5 million. And it will be a separate line item in the budget bill.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to capital construction. Capital improvements. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson moves the acceptance of LFO recommendation with regards to capital improvements. Is there any discussion? Senator Johnson?
I don't recall, and it could be up in that tsunami of paperwork in my office, but any comment about the $250,000 for not falling off the roof?
That's in capital construction.
Okay, I'll come back to that.
Okay. No further discussion. Any objections? There? None. So ordered.
Moving on to falling off the roof. The capital construction. Included in your memo is that the capital construction will be in a separate bill. So the staff recommendation is included on page 5 of my original memo, which would be a recommendation to the co-chairs for the capital construction bill. Without going through it all again, you have the list of the projects enumerated there. Of interest, of course, and a lot of discussion was the Eugene State Office Building and the coordination of efforts on the mall area for office and parking and also the rooftop fall protection of $250,000, which
micromanagement.
And I failed to follow up on that yesterday. I was paying attention to some other things. But the staff recommendation, we take this out of the budget, and the recommendation then would, if you approve it, we would draft a letter to be signed by the chair and vice chair to the co-chairs that this was the recommendation with respect to capital project bill. It's House Bill 5006.
House Bill 5006, yes. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I would move the capital construction, the LFO recommendation with respect to capital construction, but again, I want to be respectful of our colleagues who have concern about the Eugene office building, and I'm not quite sure where we have left that.
Senator Johnson moves the LFO recommendation with respect to capital construction, he wants to have a discussion with where the Eugene representatives are at in relationship to that. And I could say, Senator Edwards, that we offered to let Representative Beyer buy it this morning. She declined. I think, extend the same offer to you.
Well, Mr. Chair, I've spent a good deal of time trying to get information, understand where what the county's wishes were, understand the history of it, and I really appreciate the timeline of history that DAS provided to us. That was quite useful in my discussions with counties and with other Eugene delegates. I think in general, there was discussion of a partnership on the building. There was discussion, although that's not certainly in this budget, but that was an item of discussion that I ran down. There was discussion of the 4.1 being allocated to remodel the building and by the state. And I think there was also discussion about the sale of the building. And if I'm not mistaken, DAS in their original, and please feel free to correct me if I am mistaken, in their original budget presentation had recommended that they sell the building. LFO came or had said they just their druthers would be they just sell it, and LFO come back with a $4.1 million recommendation for a remodel. Is that incorrect? Is that
I get sign language indicating that may not have been DAS's recommendation or DAS's preference, but they would have lived with that had something of that nature.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that correction then, and I wasn't sure if I was remembering the presentation correctly or not. In looking at the situation, I mean, I could not get on board with the concept of a partnership, and I want that to be on the record between the state and the county and the city. I think it's too complex, and with respect to what DAS is been working on and what they're charged to do with state resources, I don't think that would be in the public interest to head down that road. However, I do think that it would be in the public interest to not necessarily put $4.1 million into a building that could be used, be put to better use. And I know there may be some honest disagreement about whether or not, $4.1 million for a remodel of a really old building that would bring it up to the state's standards for needs, whether or not that's a good use of our money. But if we're doing it just for the DEQ offices, I don't know. I mean, I guess I would question the value of that, and I would like to see DAS appraise the building, which was last done in 2000, I think it was, and offer for sale to the city and the county. And this issue has a long history, and it did start first in 1980. And nothing else really happened on it until the mid-90s. And there's been this kind of volleying back and forth. And I know it was mentioned in the presentation that the county had requested that the state give them the building and the property. I don't think that's a good option. And the last time that the state offered the building or the property for sale, the county did decline to purchase it at that price, at the appraised price. A lot has changed in Lane County and in the city with regards to their needs for a governmental building since that was declined in early 2001. And I think that they would be in a much different position to take DAS up on an offer to purchase that building if such were made at an appraised value. So those are that's my general thoughts after spending a good deal of time the last week trying to herd cats. I also wanted to note that the Lane County Intergovernmental Relations folks are back in Washington, D.C. right now, so they have not been able to get them to come into this committee. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair. I also want to thank Chris. He was doing a lot of this research. I'm not going to support putting the $4.1 million into the building, and it's not because I think it should be a shared building and we should join. I think it's more because I have real concerns about the value we're going to get out of that. We don't have an appraisal for what it's worth now. We don't know what adding $4.1 million to this building would do, whether that would add that value, whether that would add more value, whether it wouldn't add enough. I mean, that's a concern for me. I also think that we should probably sell the building. It would be what I think we should do. I think it would be good to give the county and city, you know, at least an option to look at it, but I don't think we should hold it out for them for a length of time. I think that that's, you know, not in the best interest of the citizens either. So while I don't want a shared building, I just don't support putting this kind of money into it at this point in time.
Other discussions?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Bates.
That's a pretty ringing endorsement for sale of the building and not renovation of the building. Is that general fund money or COPs?
The 4.1, it would be out of certificates of participation.
Have they been sold already?
No. Oh, no. This is next biennium.
My expectation is that we could pass the CLFO package and delete that from it potentially and move this package forward with the deletion of the remodel for the Eugene building. I think that sounds like it's acceptable to the local representatives. Probably have a better pulse for what's going on in the district than we do at this point. I would like to support Representative Byer and Representative Edwards' recommendations here. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward, but is there something here we're missing?
As I recall from the discussion, there may be something that we're missing, and that's that the building is not saleable. I remember that from the discussion, but Mr. Chair, we might profit from some additional dialogue with the agency about this. My memory may be faulty, but I'm not sure that selling it is an option, and having it sit there and deteriorate is not an option. And when I spoke with Mr. Ball about this earlier, there apparently is a lot of give and take between the county, and I don't know quite who can't make a deal at this point. I don't think that there is an absence of planning and thought and attempt to make a deal on the Department of Administrative Services part. At least the file that I saw reflected considerable engagement and the failure to make a deal. And I don't know who is at fault for the failure to make a deal, but the file certainly reflects that it's not for not trying on the Department of Administrative Services side.
Mr. Thank you. I think we probably could benefit from having Lindsay up in this discussion. I do want to say that this property is downtown Eugene property. I don't know what the value of the building is, but I don't have any doubt that there's value in the property. And I'm not sure that we have the information, and I'm not sure DAS has the information even to make those kind of judgments now, which is what concerns me. And I will tell you, the person negotiating more recently at the local county level is the past Senator Bill Dwyer. And I don't know if that adds anything to this conversation or not.
I think there's some information from that we received in testimony that there was that the agency did look at the renovation of the building. They also looked at the building, and I think they had a engineering or consulting firm that did tell them that the best bang for the buck was renovation.
And then possibly,
if I'm wrong on that, no. Dallas can come up and
renovation
tell me
in use.
Yeah. And I'm not without some support, and I think that Representative Edwards would recognize and admit that I've tried to get him to move forward and see what, you know, can be done, you know, with this. I am perplexed, though, even though I understand the folks are in Washington, and I appreciate that the nature of their business in Washington now is critical, not just to the Lane County, but to the entire state of Oregon, even though it may be an exercise in futility. I mean, it's still critical, and I would be very appreciative of that. I, as chair of the committee, have been frustrated that I haven't heard a word from Lane County. I've tried through their delegation here to get some dialogue going, and it seems like it's far more difficult to do than the experience I went through in the dental office yesterday. I'm really very frustrated with that, and I don't know, Dallas, help me a little bit. We are running out of time, and we do have to
move the budget out today.
This goes out today, so if we move this recommendation as you have it written here, and the county, city, or some great philanthropist from Lane County comes along and wants to buy the building for fair market value, or the lot for fair market value, and the lot is probably worth more than the building at this juncture, would this be so cast in bronze that the state would not be able to accept that offer?
No, Mr. Chair, it would not. This is just approval for them in 0709 to renovate the building. It doesn't prohibit them from pursuing any other options.
Okay. And that was my understanding, and for that reason, I'm anxious to move this out to get this budget on its way. Senator Bates.
Mr. Chair, and Dallas is a question for you, really, and you probably, there's no obvious answer. This is basically a business deal. If you own a building, you look at, if we renovate, do we have long-term leases in place that will support the money we put into it, and will we get that money back, and is it a worthwhile investment for us to make, whether you're a state or an individual? You can sell a building like this in its present condition on the open market. Somebody might buy it and say, okay, we're going to do the renovations, but we want some long-term leases from the county and city, and we want those locked up so we can get our money back over a period of time. All those kind of discussions go on. We haven't got time for them right now. Bottom line I want to know is if we put this money into the building, you know, are there long-term leases in place, the city and county, agreements with city and county that will help pay that back so it's a good investment for the people of Oregon, or is this like we're going to renovate it and take our chances?
Mr. Chair, members, this is supposed to be a state office building, a uniform rent. Anchor tenant was going to be the DEQ. So, and long-term, it's proven, and I believe that the renovation was going to extend the useful life of this building some 40 years. I mean, it's structurally sound. It's just not up to code with respect to wiring, plumbing, and the like.
And since we're talking about real estate, it's location, location, location. Yep. And this has got location, location, location. I would support, despite what I've heard here, moving this forward with the possibility of selling in the future or maintaining the future for the state. But we got that option later on after we've done the improvements. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm going to be a no on it, but I just want to say that one of the issues that's been a problem on this is the need for DEQ to move and move fast. And so I'm thinking that, I mean, this building, is, I mean, when we approve this, there's not a long period of time for any changes in this. They're going to want to get started on this to get DEQ in there. And I know that's been part of the discussion early on. And so I just wanted to make sure we're aware of that.
Thank you, Representative Byer. Representative Edward.
Thank you. I guess my thoughts are we could do that, and we can move forward with the 4.1. In reality, it's what I see in my own mind, plan it out. The county and the city may come up with a proposal and hand it to the state to purchase the building, but without a directed appraised value prior to that discussion, we're just going to get into a bickering match back and forth about whether it was a good enough offer. We are kind of at it. The way I see it right now, I think we're at that decision point. Either, 4.1, and the state's, it's going to be a state building for the next, indeterminate number of years, or it's sale time. And we're kind of at that point right now. And I think if we go down the road of 4.1, I don't think it's, and I could be wrong. Maybe this state would be amenable to a sale if the county and the city were to make an offer on it. But they certainly have a lot of growth needs that they're trying to work through downtown. And for them, it's an efficiency issue. So I would be a no on the 4.1. I think we can have honest disagreements about the stewardship of the state resources and how we work with local governments on this, and how we view capital investment, and I certainly understand the comments of other members of this committee, and I've also really appreciated the chair's cooperation in giving me some time to work through some of these issues with other Eugene delegates. So I appreciate that.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I have a process question, if I may. Possible? I guess anything's possible. But to leave the 4.1 in there, but put a proviso in that that DAS continue to work with the city and the county, and if nothing is resolved, then of course they would move forward with the renovations in 6 months or whatever. And
and correct me if I'm wrong, Dallas, but I don't believe a proviso is necessary there, because I think DAS has heard the discussion here, and that if the city can come up with, or the county can come up with a sale, I think they, along with every member of the legislature, would much rather have goodwill and best use of property for the benefit of the people, whether it's state or city or county. I mean, we all are fundamentally partners in this process type of thing. I don't have any particular objection, and the record is already showing that there's a lot of support here for Lane County in purchase of the building at fair market value, if that's what they want to do. However, in all fairness to the agency, in light of the fact, and we're forgetting that we've got an anchor tenant whose lease is going to be expiring, and time is of the essence for the state. We have to do something with that anchor tenant, and we don't have the luxury at this point. And you and I and the other members of the committee are simply victims of the e-board passing us the buck from, last January or what, December. Yes.
Mr. Chair, in the interest of time, I would restate my motion, and that is to accept the LFO recommendation with respect to capital construction.
Senator Johnson is restating her motion with and stating that that we accept the LFO recommendation with respect to capital construction. And I have heard two nays on this budget. Are there any other noes? We don't need to call any co-chairs in on this run, sort of thing. Okay. With that, then, any other discussion? Hearing none, so ordered, noting Representative Beyer and Representative Edwards no votes with it. And the chair will, representatives, try to do everything he can to help you pursue this thing again further if you can.
Sure. Thank you.
Yes.
May we move on?
Yes. We'd better.
Okay. Next one was the special governmental payments. The recommendation was to reduce the general fund appropriation by $3,750,000. This was the public broadcasting money with the idea of it can come back in a different bill for transparency purposes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to special government payments and just share with my colleagues the fact that before the deadline on Monday, I did drop a bill that would provide a vehicle so that this is not just cut loose and out there floating someplace without someplace to drop into. So there is a vehicle to address this concern.
The chair, on behalf of his wife, thanks you for doing that. Is there discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be very quick. I thank the good senator for making this motion and for introducing that bill. I still would prefer to see it in this budget, have concerns about it outside of the budget, and so I'm not going to support this motion.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with the representative. I appreciate as well and would be inclined to vote a no, but I'll defer to the chair.
That's fine.
Okay. All right.
Hearing no further discussion then, with the exception of Representative Bellizio, who would like to vote no on this.
And Representative Beyer.
Representative Beyer. So ordered.
Okay. Next, we passed the entire budget.
No, we've got more. Oops. I have my supplemental, my technical adjustments. Remember, we have three.
I would accept a motion to accept LFO's three technical adjustments
in block.
In block.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
It's been moved that we accept LFO's technical adjustments in block. Is there any discussion, any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Next, move approval to include in the budget bill this adjustment to the 0507 budget for $35,679.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to the $35,000 technical adjustment.
Senator Johnson moves the LFO recommendation with respect to the technical adjustment of $35,000. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I would move the performance measures for the Department of Administrative Services as discussed in the committee and as recommended by LFO.
Thank you. Senator Johnson moves the performance measures as discussed in committee and as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office. Any discussion? Hearing
one quick question, Mr. Chair. On page 3 or whatever it is where it says the department shall collect data for performance measure number 8, isn't that supposed to be performance measure number 9?
Did I have a typo?
Yes, my apologies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
We're just making
so
that change. We're fine.
Then, is there any further objection or any discussion? Hearing none, any objections? So ordered.
Then we need a recommendation to amend Senate Bill 5502 to reflect all these adjustments and to the full with a due pass as amended.
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion to pass Senate Bill 5502 as amended. To the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Bates moves 5502 to the full Ways and Means Committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Is there any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. And Senate floor. Senator Johnson?
I'll do it, Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair.
And the chair will carry it on the House floor and in the full, expecting Senator Johnson to bail him out whenever he needs help.
That's why God made good staff.
We're adjourned. And Representative Meyer and Edwards, I appreciate very much your position. I appreciate your votes. And
I will do whatever I can, what the budget may be.
Yeah, well, and I have concerns even about, would have had concerns about.